Welcome to Dementia in the House, navigating a loved one's dementia with solutions and support from experts and friends. I'm Catherine Nichols.
I'd like to welcome back behavioral neurologist Tiffany Chow to talk about a pretty sticky topic.
I wanted to address something with you that I discussed with the helpline coordinator at the Alzheimer's organization, and she called it the therapeutic fib. She talked about how many people call into the helpline racked with anxiety about the patient, the person they're caring for, this person they love very much, is not rooted in reality, and they desperately want to bring this person back to some sort of reality. I think sometimes that has a lot more to do with the caregiver than it does with the patient.
Would you
talk about this concept, how you might rename it, where it has a place in caregiving and dealing with dementia, and how you might adjust to the trickier aspects of it?
I think this is a really important point. And as you say, and as they've experienced at the Alzheimer's Association, it comes up lots of times for all clinicians working with families. I think the problem that I have with calling it a therapeutic fib is that it isn't always therapeutic for the patient. It can be therapeutic for the caregiver who is faced with the idea of, oh, do I correct you or and get into an argument, or do I go along with this? And I think that one of the basic tenets that can help people navigate how much lying they're doing would be, am I helping this person to feel safe, loved, happy, and healthy? Oftentimes, when I'm really scared of something, it helps me so much to have somebody else acknowledge that they understand how scared I am. And so the example that you gave me of, I'm worried that somebody is stealing from me, then the next thing on your mind may not be, or probably should not be, to defend the son who's being accused. Although,
you mean like I did.
As a good mother, this is hard for you to stamp down. But first thing should be, why is the patient saying this? The patient is saying this because he can't find the thing he's looking for. And so his mind goes to, it was stolen and I'm going to blame somebody. Or sometimes what the person is saying is trying to tell you, I'm scared or I'm uncomfortable or I'm confused. I had an example very recently. My Pilates coach, who I love, is from Tokyo, and she went home to visit her mom. And her mom did not recognize her as her third daughter. Very painful for this caregiver. But she had understood that at some level, at some point in the future, this would happen. She wasn't completely surprised. She was disappointed. But she said, I don't know what to do. Should I keep telling her, I'm your daughter, I'm your daughter? I said, is she cooperating with you and just thinks you're a really helpful young woman friend? And that was thankfully the case. She could call her mother, Mom. And Mom would respond in the way that she wanted her to, but she couldn't get over this, recognize me as your third daughter. So we just went completely around it. When Tomoko would say, hi, how are you doing? Let's go do this thing together. And the mother would say, who are you? She would identify herself as a close friend of the family. And that would be enough. Is that therapeutic for the mom? Well, it helps you get to the next step. It helps acknowledge, okay, you're confused, and I am going to try to reorient you, and we can move forward. If you have someone who's making accusations, then you need to try to ask questions that show that you understand, I see this is a problem. I see that this is important to you. How can I help you to get to the next step? This is where a lot of psychologists will say, you need to come up with some distractions. As you ease the person out of the feelings of the moment, you have to be armed with something else that you guys can talk about. And this is very challenging, because if you're a distressed person and you haven't gotten enough sleep, it's hard to do this three steps ahead chess maneuver, but that's generally the guideline. I am hearing you. I'm hearing that you're upset. What exactly is upsetting you? How can we address it together? And oh, look, there's hummingbirds at the hummingbird feeder.
This is extremely helpful. I remember one time I was taking care of him, and he was still mobile at that time. And his wife was out of town for a brief while. And I left to change the laundry from the washer to the dryer and came back. And he said that he was nearly attacked. Someone had come in the house. This bad person was after him, after everybody. He was highly agitated. And so when you bring up these techniques, I think, okay, I asked him questions. We took a walk around the block. I said, Dad, I think he's gone. Whatever you did, you must have taken care of it and scared this guy away. So it's all good now. I was able to do some of what you suggested in that instance, but that's about the only one I can think of where I was very successful.
Well, so I think one of the advantages that family has with patients is you know, and I would not know in the same circumstance, that moving the body helps to disengage the obsessive thought. That doesn't work for everybody because you can't always get people to get up and move around or get out of the house. Changing the room, changing the environment, changing the lighting can actually work as a distraction or a way to hit the reset button. You want to, in a sense, identify, wow, you really sound upset. Let's take a moment together. Help me understand what's making you so upset, if you can. And now let's do something that will make you feel better.
Anything else you'd like to add that you didn't get a chance to say just about this topic in particular?
I would say that one little bonus, if people think of it, is when the person who's confused doesn't recognize you, but knows that the concept of you exists. Coming back to Tomoko and her mother, I said, so Tomoko, when she's in a more conversational mood, you might want to ask her, so tell me something about your daughter. And you might hear something as the, in quotes, third party that you wouldn't have heard if she recognized that you were the daughter that she's talking about. Now, this is dangerous. You might hear stuff that you don't want to hear, but it might satisfy a caregiver who feels like, wait, I don't want her to forget that she has a third daughter because that's me. And I'm not going to forget that she's my mom. So sometimes we have to settle for being acknowledged in a very indirect way.
Excellent advice. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us. And we'll look forward to many more conversations. Dr. Tiffany Chow.
The music on our podcast was written and performed by Jake Shimabukuro. The song is Making a Perfect Yesterday from the album Dragon. Thank you, Jake.